all week. My first night here, we were up nearly the entire night.
Hey.
Tessa's smile lights up the dim room, and Kimberly covertly slides off the high stool she's sitting on and leaves us alone. Which means she set a new record for not annoying me.
How long have you been up?
I ask Tessa.
2 hours. Christian said I could have an extra hour since you weren't awake.
You should have woken me up earlier.
My eyes greedily rake down her body. She's dressed in a deep red button-down shirt, tucked into a solid black knee-length pencil skirt. The material hugs her hips in a way that makes me want to bend her over the stool, push her skirt up to reveal her panties, lace panties, perhaps, and take her right here, right now. She calls me out from my thoughts.
What?
The front door closes, and I'm relieved that we're finally alone in the massive house.
Nothing.
I lie and walk over to the half-full coffee pot.
You'd think they'd have a Keurig, rich bastards.
Tessa laughs at my remark.
I'm glad they don't. I hate those things.
She leans on her elbows on the kitchen island, and her hair falls down to frame her face.
Me too.
I glance around the spacious kitchen and back to Tessa's chest as she stands up straight.
What time do you have to leave?
I ask. She crosses her arms in front of her chest, blocking my view.
20 minutes.
Damn it. I sigh. And we both bring our coffee mugs to our mouths at the same time.
You should have woken me up. Tell Vance you're not coming in.
No.
She blows at the steaming cup of coffee in her hand.
Yes.
No.
She says with a firm voice.
I can't take advantage of my personal relationship with him like that.
Her choice of words sends an unwelcome annoyance through me.
It's not a personal relationship. You're staying here because you're friends with Kimberly, and ultimately because I introduced you to Vance in the first place.
I remind her, fully aware of just how annoyed she gets when I bring this up with her. Her blue-gray eyes roll back dramatically, and she strides across the rich hardwood floor, her heels clicking loudly as she passes me. My fingers hook around her elbow, halting her dramatic exit. I pull her to my chest and press my lips against the base of her throat.
Where do you think you're going?
To my room to grab my bag, she says.
But the heavy rising and falling of her chest completely contradicts her cool tone and cooler gaze.
Tell him you need more time,
I demand, barely brushing my lips over the flushed skin below her neck. She tries to appear unaffected by my touch, but I know better. I know her body better than she does.
No.
She makes a minimal effort to pull away, just to be able to tell herself that she did.
I don't want to take advantage of him. They're already letting me stay here for free.
I'm not budging.
I'll call him then,
I say. He doesn't need her at the office today. He already has her 3 days a week. I need her more than Vance Publishing does.
Harden.
She reaches for my hand before I can dig into my pocket to retrieve my cell phone.
I'll call Kim.
She frowns, and I'm surprised and very grateful that she gave in so quickly.
Chapter 105. Tessa. Kim? Hey, it's Tessa. I was...
Go ahead.
She cuts me off.
I already told Christian you probably wouldn't be in today.
I'm sorry for asking. Tessa, it's fine. We get it. The sincerity in her voice makes me smile despite my annoyance with Harden. It's nice to finally have a female friend. The weight of Steph's betrayal is something I'm having a hard time lifting from my chest. I look around my temporary bedroom and remind myself that I'm hours away from her, from that campus, from all the friends I thought I had made during my first semester at college, all of them fakes. This is my life now. Seattle is where I belong, and I'll never have to see Steph or any of them again. Thank you so much, I tell her.
You don't have to thank me.
Just remember that all the main rooms in the house are under surveillance. Kimberly laughs. I'm sure that after the gym incident, you wouldn't forget that. My eyes dart up to Harden as he enters the bedroom. His expectant grin and the way those dark blue jeans hang low on his hips distract me from Kimberly's words. I have to scramble to remember what she said only seconds ago. The gym? Oh, God. My blood runs cold and Harden stalks toward me. Yeah, I mumble, holding my hand up to stop Harden from coming any closer. Have fun, Kimberly ends the call. They have cameras in the gym. They saw us, I say, panicking. Harden shrugs as if it's no big deal.
They turned them off before they saw anything.
Harden, they know we, you know, in their gym. My hands fly through the air in front of me. I'm so mortified. I cover my face with my hands, but Harden quickly removes them.
They didn't see anything. I spoke to them already. Calm down. Don't you think I would have lost my shit if he'd actually seen anything on tape?
I relax, slightly. He's right. He would have been much more upset than he appears to be right now, but that doesn't mean that I'm not completely humiliated by the fact that they know, even if they did stop the tape. But wait, what does tape even mean here? Everything's digital. And they could have just said they stopped the cameras, but really all they did was just look away. The footage. It's not saved anywhere or anything, right? I can't help but ask the question. My fingertip traces over the small cross tattoo on Harden's hand. Harden lowers his eyes at me defensively.
What is that supposed to mean?
Harden's old hobbies flash through my mind. That's not what I meant, I say quickly. Maybe too quickly.
You sure?
He asks. I watch as his features harden and his eyes fill with guilt.
I mean, how would you know what I was worried you were thinking about if you hadn't already been thinking about it yourself?
Don't, I say strongly, and close the small space between us.
Don't what?
He asks. I can read his thoughts in this moment. I can see him reliving the terrible things he has done. Don't do that. Don't go back there.
I can't help it.
He rubs his hand down his face in a slow yet frenzied motion.
Is that what you were thinking? That I knew about the tape? And that I let him watch it?
What? No! I would never think that, I say honestly. I only connected the tape from the gym to what happened before when you said something. It just reminded me of that. I never thought you were doing that now. My fingers wrap around the tattered neckline of his black t-shirt. I know you would never show anyone a tape of me. I stare into his eyes, willing him to believe me.
If anyone ever did something like that to you.
He takes a long pause and a deep breath.
I don't know what I would do to them, even if it was Vance.
He grimly admits. Harden's temper is something I've grown very familiar with over the last 6 months. I stand on my tiptoes so I can look him in the eyes. It won't happen.
Something terrible almost did, though, only last week with Stefan Dan.
A shudder shakes his shoulders, and I desperately search for the right thing to say to him to pull him out of this dark place. Nothing happened. The irony of my being the one to comfort him now, when the trauma was actually something that happened to me, isn't lost on me. But this role reversal speaks true to the nature of our relationship, and Harden's need to blame himself for things he can't control. Just like his mother, just like me. I can see this now.
If he had been inside you.
The words bring back vague flashes of memory from that night. Images of Dan's fingers running up my thigh, of Steph pulling at my dress. I don't want to discuss the hypothetical. I lean into him and his arms wrap around my waist, caging me, protecting me from bad memories and non-existent threats. He glowers.
We've barely discussed it at all.
I don't want to. We talked about it enough at my mother's house, and this is not how I want to spend my newly cleared afternoon. I give him the best smile I can manage in a failed attempt to lighten the mood.
I couldn't bear anyone hurting you like that. I hate the thought of him violating you. It makes me murderous. All I see is red. I can't handle it.
Harden's angry expression has not lightened, only intensified. His green eyes burn into mine, and the rough grip of his fingers tightens on the span of my hips. Let's not talk about it, then. I want you to try and forget it like I have. I caress his back with my fingers, gently begging him to forget the whole thing. It won't do either of us any good to harp on it. It was terrible and disgusting, but I won't let it rule me. I love you. I love you so, so much. His mouth catches mine, and I wrap my fingers around his arms, pulling him closer to me. Between breaths, I say, "So focus on me, Harden. Only on m—" I'm interrupted by the pressure of his mouth on mine again, possessing me, proving his commitment to both me and himself. His tongue is hard, pushing through my lips to massage mine. Harden's fingertips dig into my hips even further, and I whimper as his hands glide up my stomach to my chest. He cups my breasts, and I push into his body harder, filling his greedy hands.
"Show me that it's only me,"
he whispers into my mouth, and I know exactly what he wants, what he needs. I drop to my knees in front of him and hastily tug at the lone button on his jeans. The zipper proves to be more of a problem, and I briefly consider ripping the jagged metal lining and destroying it altogether. However, I can't bring myself to do this, considering how hot he looks in the tight blue jeans. My fingertips slowly graze over the light dusting of hair leading from his navel to the waistband of his boxers, and he groans impatiently.
"Please,"
he begs.
"No teasing."
I give a small nod and pull down his boxers, letting them pool at his calves atop the bunched-up jeans. Harden groans once more, this time much louder, much more primal, and I take him into my mouth. Slow movements and flicks of my tongue say the things that I try to instill in his paranoid mind, reassuring him that these acts of pleasure are different from anything someone could force me into. I love him. I'm aware what I'm doing now may not be the healthiest way to handle his anger and anxiety, but my need for him is stronger than my moral compass, which, at the moment, is smugly waving a self-help book in front of my face.
"I fucking love that I'm the only man who has had your mouth,"
he groans, as I use one hand to take what my mouth cannot.
"Those lips have only wrapped around me."
A quick movement of his hips makes me gag, and he reaches down to run his thumb along my forehead.
"Look at me,"
he instructs, and I happily comply. I'm enjoying this just as much as he is. I always do. I love the way his eyelids fall closed with each long stroke of my tongue against him. I love the way he grunts and groans when I add more suction.
"Fuck, you know exactly."
His head rolls back, and I can feel the muscles in his legs tightening under my hand, which I've rested on him to steady myself.
"I'm the only man who you'll ever be on your knees in front of."
I press my thighs together to relieve some of the tension his filthy mouth arouses in me. Harden uses one hand to steady himself against the wall as my mouth brings him closer and closer to his high. I keep my eyes on him, knowing that it drives him absolutely crazy to watch me as I enjoy pleasuring him so much. His free hand moves down from the top of my head to my mouth, and he runs the pad of his thumb across my top lip, moving in and out of my mouth at a quickening pace.
"Fuck, Tess."
His body goes rigid as he tells me how good it feels, how much he loves me, while he climbs closer to release. I take all of him, moaning while he's filling my mouth, and he groans, emptying himself on my tongue. I keep sucking, milking every drop of his release as he softly rubs my cheek with his thumb. I lean into his touch, reveling in its tenderness, and he gently helps me to my feet. The moment I'm standing next to him, he's pulling me into his arms, hugging me in an intimate gesture that almost overwhelms me.
"I'm sorry for dragging all that shit up,"
he whispers into my hair.
"Shh,"
I whisper back, not wanting to backtrack to the dark conversation we left behind only minutes ago.
"Bend over the bed, baby,"
Harden says, and it takes me a moment to register his words. He doesn't give me an opportunity to respond before he's gently pushing his palm against the small of my back, guiding me to the edge of the mattress. His hands grip my thighs, pushing my skirt up my legs until my entire behind is bared to him. I want him so badly that it physically hurts, an ache that only he can soothe. As I move to step out of my shoes, he presses his palm against my back again.
"No, leave them on,"
he growls. I groan as my panties are pushed to the side and he slides a finger inside of me. He steps closer, his legs nearly touching mine, his cock softly teasing the back of my legs.
"So soft, baby. So warm.
He adds another finger, and I groan, leaning all my weight onto my elbows on the mattress. My back arches when he finds a rhythm, steadily entering me, dragging his long fingers into and out of me.
"Your sounds are so sexy, Tess,"
he coos, closing the gap between our bodies so I feel his hard cock pressing against me. "Please, Harden," I groan, needing him now. Within seconds, he fills me in the way that only he has and only he ever will. I lust for him, but it's nothing compared to the overwhelming, all-consuming, judgment-altering love that I have for him, and I know deep down, deep in the depth of me, that only he and I can see that it will always be only him. Later, as we're lying in bed, Harden whines,
"I don't want to go."
And in a very unHarden-like gesture, he leans his head down and buries it in my shoulder, wrapping his arms and legs around my body. His thick hair tickles my skin. I try to tame it with my fingers, but there is simply too much of it.
"I need a haircut,"
he announces, as if answering my thoughts. I like it this way. I gently tug at the damp strands.
"You wouldn't tell me if you didn't,"
he says, calling me out. He's right, but only because I couldn't imagine a hairstyle on Harden that wouldn't flatter him. Still, I do happen to love his hair this length. "Your phone is ringing again," I point out, and he lifts his head to shoot me a glare. Something could be wrong with my father, and I'm trying my best not to freak out, and I really want to trust you, so please just answer it, I rattle out.
"If it's something with your father, Landon can handle it, Tessa."
"Harden, you know how hard it is for me, not..."
"Tessa,"
he says to silence me, but then he climbs off the bed and retrieves the vibrating phone from the desk.
"See? It's my mum."
He holds the screen up so the word Trish is clear from where he stands. I really wish he'd listen to me and change her entry to mom in his phone, but he refuses. Baby steps, I remind myself. "Answer it! It could be an emergency." I climb off the bed and try to grab the phone from his quick hands.
"She's fine. She's been pestering me all morning."
Harden childishly holds the phone up over my head. "About what?" I ask him, and watch as he turns the power off on the device.
"Nothing important. You know how annoying she can be."
"She's not annoying," I say in Trish's defense. "She's very sweet, and I love her sense of humor, something which her son could use more of."
"You're just as annoying as she is. I knew you would say that,"
he grins. His long fingers reach out to tuck my hair behind my ears. I give him a fake evil eye. "You're being awfully charming today, aside from calling me annoying just now, of course. I'm not complaining, but given our history, I'm afraid that this behavior will disappear when our blissful weekend has ended."
"Would you prefer me to be an asshole?"
He raises a brow. I smile, enjoying his playful behavior no matter how briefly it lasts.
Chapter 106. Harden. As if the long-ass drive through the freezing rain wasn't pleasant enough, when I get back to my apartment, I'm bombarded with a disturbing image of Tessa's dad sprawled out on my couch, wearing my clothes. My cotton pajama pants and black t-shirt are way too tight on him, and I can literally taste the bagel Tessa fed me this morning rising in the back of my throat, just begging to be regurgitated onto the concrete floor.
"How is Tessie doing?"
Richard asks me the moment I walk in the door. "Why are you wearing my clothes again?" I groan, not necessarily expecting an answer from the man, but knowing I'm going to get one anyway.
"I only have that one shirt you gave me, and I couldn't get the smell out of it,"
he replies, rising to his feet. "Where's Landon?"
"Landon's in the kitchen!"
My stepbrother's voice carries into the living room from behind me. A moment later, he joins us, a dish towel in his hands. Drops of soap fall to the floor, and I scowl at him for not making Richard do the damn dishes.
"So, how is she?"
he asks. "She's good. Fuck, in case anyone was wondering, I'm good too," I gripe. The apartment is much cleaner than it was when I left it. The stacks of shitty manuscripts that I had planned to throw away are now gone. The tower of empty water bottles I had built on the coffee table is nowhere to be seen, and even the dust mound that I've grown used to watching grow has disappeared from the corners of the television stand.
What the fuck happened in here?
I ask both of them. My patience is wearing too thin, given that I've only been in this apartment for a couple of minutes.
If you mean what happened, as in why did we clean the place,
Landon begins, but I cut him off.
Where's all my shit?
I pace across the floor.
Did I ask either of you to touch any of my shit?
My fingers move to pinch the bridge of my nose, and I take a deep breath in an attempt to control my sudden anger. Why would they just clean my fucking apartment without asking me first? I look back and forth between the two of them before stalking off to my bedroom.
Someone's in a mood,
I hear Richard remark just as I reach the door.
Just ignore him. He misses her,
Landon quickly says. As a fuck you to both of them, I slam the door as loudly as possible. Landon is right. I know he is. I could feel it as I drove away from that damned city, away from her. I could feel every single tendon and muscle in my body tighten the farther I got from her. Every single fucking mile widened the gaping hole inside of me. A hole that only she can fill. Cursing at every asshole on the highway helped maintain my temper at a slow burn. But it wasn't going to suffice for long. I should have stayed in Seattle a few more hours, convinced her to take the week off and come home with me. With the way she was dressed, I shouldn't have given her a choice. The more I sink into my thoughts, the more I find myself visualizing her half-naked body. Her skirt was bunched up around her waist, creating the sexiest sight. As I rocked into her repeatedly, she promised not to forget me during the long week ahead and told me how much she loved me. The more I think about the way she kissed me and then kissed me again, the more agitated I become. My need for her is stronger than it's ever been. It's lust and love melted together. No, the need I have for her goes much deeper than lust. The way we're connected while making love is indescribable. The sounds she makes. The way I'm reminded that I'm the only man who has ever made her feel that way. I love her, and she loves me. End of fucking story.
Hey,
I say into the receiver, having called her before I even realized what I was doing.
Hey, is something wrong?
She asks.
No.
I look around my bedroom, my newly tidied bedroom.
Yes. What's wrong? Are you home?
No, it's not home. You're not here.
Yeah, and your fucking dad and Landon are on my last fucking nerve.
She lets out a little chuckle.
It's been, what, like probably 10 minutes you've been home? What did they do already?
They cleaned the entire apartment, moved all my shit around. I can't find anything. I wish there was a dirty shirt on the floor or something I could kick.
What are you looking for?
She asks, but in the background I hear another voice on her end. It takes everything I have not to ask her who the hell she's with.
Nothing specific,
I admit. But what I'm saying is that if I did want to find something, I wouldn't be able to. She laughs.
So you're mad that they cleaned up the apartment and you can't find something you're not even looking for?
Yeah, I say with a grin. I'm being a fucking baby, and I know it. She knows it too. But instead of chastising me, she giggles.
You should go to the gym.
I should drive back to Seattle and fuck you over your bed. Again. I fire back. She gasps, and the sound resonates deep inside me, making the need for her stronger.
Yeah,
she whispers.
Who's with you?
I lasted about 40 seconds there. Progress.
Trevor and Kim,
she replies slowly.
You've got to be kidding me.
Fucking Trevor is always around. He's becoming more of a nuisance than Zed, and that's saying a fucking lot.
Harden?
I can tell she's uncomfortable, and she doesn't want to explain herself in front of them.
Teresa? I'm going to go to my room for a minute.
She politely excuses herself, and while I listen to her breathing, I grow more and more impatient.
Why is fucking Trevor at your house?
I say, sounding more like a lunatic than I'd planned on.
This isn't my house,
she reminds me.
Yeah, well, you live there, and...
She interrupts me.
You should go to the gym. You're obviously wound up.
I can hear the concern in her voice, and the silence that follows proves her point.
Please, Harden.
There's no way I can say no to her. I'll call you when I get back. I agree, and hang up the phone. I can't say that I didn't see fucking Trevor's fucking annoying, model-fucking-like face imprinted on the black bag as I kicked, punched for 2 hours straight. But I also can't say that it helped. Not really. I'm still just revved up. I don't even know why I'm annoyed, except that Tessa isn't here and I'm not there. Fuck. This is going to be a long week. A text from Tessa is waiting for me when I reach my car. I hadn't expected to work out for so long, but I clearly needed it.
Been trying to stay awake, but I'm worn out.
Her message reads, I'm thankful for the darkness outside that conceals the stupid-ass grin on my face from her corny innuendo. She's so damn endearing without even trying. I nearly ignore a message from Landon, reminding me that I'm running low on groceries. I haven't bought actual groceries for myself since... ever. When I lived in the frat house, I just ate the shit that other people bought. However, Tessa may be upset if she finds out I'm not feeding her dad, and Landon won't hesitate to tattle on me. Somehow, I find myself pulling into Target instead of Connor's for groceries. Tessa is clearly influencing me without even being here. She spends just as much time at Connor's as she does at Target, even though she can go on for hours explaining to me why Target is much better than any other store. She even expresses this while we're in the middle of Connor's. It annoys the shit out of me. But I've learned to nod at the exact right moments to make her think I'm listening and partly agreeing with her. Just as I toss a box of Frosted Flakes into a shopping cart, a flash of red hair appears at the end of the aisle. I know it's Steph before she turns around. Her skanky thigh-high black boots with red laces are a dead giveaway. Quickly, I go over the two options here. One, I can walk over and remind her what a stupid fucking... She turns to face me before I can go over the second option, which I probably would have preferred.
Harden, wait!
Steph's voice sounds loud when I turn on my heel and leave the cart in the middle of the aisle. Regardless of the hard workout I just completed, there's no way that I could possibly control myself around Steph. No fucking way. I can hear the heavy thud of her boots against the laminate floor as she follows me despite my obvious attempt at avoiding her.
Listen to me!
She yells when she gets right behind me. When I stop walking, she collides with my back and falls to the floor. I spin and growl at her.
What the fuck do you want?
She quickly scrambles to her feet. I notice that her black dress is now dusted white from the dirty floor.
I thought you were in Seattle.
I am, just not at the moment. I lie. I'm not sure what possessed me to even try to keep a front up with her, but it's too late to backtrack now.
I know you hate me now, she begins.
First smart thought you've had in a while,
I snap out, then get a good look at her. Her green eyes are nearly non-existent, what with the thick lines of black circling them. She looks like shit.
I'm not in the mood for your crap,
I warn her.
You never have been,
she smiles. I clench my fists at my sides.
I don't have shit to say to you, and you know how I get when I don't want to be bothered.
You're threatening me? Really?
She raises her arms in front of her. then drops them back down. I stay quiet as images of a barely conscious Tessa swarm my mind. I need to get away from Steph. I would never hurt her physically, but I know all the shit to say to cut her much deeper than anything she could imagine. It's one of my many talents.
She isn't good for you,
Steph has the nerve to say. I can't help but laugh at the audacity of this bitch.
You aren't stupid enough to try to discuss this with me.
But Steph has never been anything if not sure of herself. Full of herself.
You know it's true. She isn't enough for you, and you're never going to be enough for her.
The heat inside me turns from a simmer to a raging boil as she continues.
You're going to get bored with her prudish behavior, and you know it. You're probably already bored.
Prudish!
I bark another laugh. She doesn't know the Tessa who likes to be fucked in front of a mirror and fucks herself on my fingers until she screams my name. Steph nods.
And she'll get over this bad boy fetish she's got with you and marry a banker or some shit. You can't be stupid enough to think she's in this for the long run. I know you saw how she was with Noah, that douchebag made of cardigans. They were like the poster couple for people who belong together, and you know it. You can't compete with that.
And what? You're implying that you and I would be better?
My voice comes out sounding much less demanding than I planned. She's prying at my biggest insecurities, and I'm trying my best not to falter. She rolls her raccoon eyes.
No, of course not. I know you don't want me. You never did. My point is, I care about you, she says.
I look away from her to scan the empty aisles.
I know you don't want to believe me, and I know you want to wring my neck for messing with your Virgin Mary. But in that dark heart of yours, you know what I'm saying is true.
I bite the inside of my cheek at the nickname that my so-called friends branded Tessa with early on.
Deep down, you know it won't work. She's too silver spoon for you. You're covered in ink, and it's only a matter of time before she's sick of being embarrassed to be seen with you.
She's not embarrassed to be seen with me.
I take a step toward the red-headed harpy.
You know she is. She even told me she was when you two first started dating. I'm sure that hasn't changed.
She smiles. Her nose ring glistens under the lighting, and I cringe at the memory of her hands touching me, making me come. I swallow back bile and speak.
You're trying to manipulate me, because that's all you have to work with, and I'm not buying it.
I push past her. She croaks out a gross little laugh.
If you were enough for her, then why did she turn to Zed so many times? You know what people were saying.
I stopped dead in my tracks. I remember Tessa coming back from that lunch with Steph. She was so upset after she left Applebee's the day that Steph brought Molly along, and the two of them hinted to Tessa that there were rumors going around that she fucked Zed. I was enraged enough to call Molly and warn her not to fucking try to come between Tessa and me. Steph obviously didn't get the message, even though it was her I needed to worry about the entire time.
You made up those rumors,
I accuse.
No, Zed's roommate did. He's the one who heard her moaning his name and heard Zed's bed smacking against the wall while he was trying to sleep. Annoying, right?
Steph's malevolent grin snaps every bit of self-control I've managed to hang on to since Tessa left for Seattle.
I need to walk away now. I need to walk away now.
Zed said she was nice and tight, though, and apparently she does this, like, thing with her hips or something. Oh, and that freckle. You know the one.
Her black nails tap against her chin. I can't handle it.
Shut up!
I cover my ears with my hands.
Shut the fuck up!
I scream through the aisle, and Steph backs away, still grinning.
Believe me or not, she shrugs. I don't care, but you know it's a waste of time. She's a waste of time.
She sneers, disappearing just as my fist connects with metal shelving. Chapter 107. Harden. Boxes fall from the shelves and tumble onto the floor in a blur. I connect with the metal again, leaving a thick red stain behind. The familiar sting of splitting flesh across my knuckles only heightens the rush of my adrenaline, pushing me further into my rage. It's almost soothing, the relief of allowing myself to express my anger in the way I've always been used to. I don't have to stop myself. I don't have to overthink my actions. I can surrender to the anger, let it spill out, allow it to pull me under.
What are you doing? Someone come help!
A woman yells. When I snap my head her way, she takes a step backward into the wide opening at the aisle's end, and I notice a little blonde-haired girl clinging to her skirt. The woman's eyes are wide with fear and caution. When the little girl's bright blue eyes meet mine, I can't look away. The innocence in their depths is being stolen with every angry breath that leaves my body. I break the hold of the girl's gaze, and I look toward the mess I've made in the aisle. Disappointment replaces rage in an instant, and the realization that I'm destroying shit in the middle of a target hits me hard. If the cops arrive before I can get out of here, I'm fucked. With one last look toward the little girl in her floor-length dress and sparkling shoes, I rush down the aisle and toward the front of the store. Avoiding the chaos that is brewing around me, I cross from aisle to aisle, staying as much out of sight as possible. I can't think clearly. Not a single thought makes sense to me. Tessa didn't fuck Zed. She didn't. She couldn't have. I would know if she did. Someone would have told me. She would have told me. She's the only person I know who doesn't lie to me. I burst outside, and the winter air is unforgiving as it bites at my skin. I keep my eyes focused on my car, which is parked toward the back of the lot, thankful to be shielded by the darkness of the night.
Fuck!
I scream once I reach my car. My boot collides with my bumper, and the grinding noise of metal bending out of place ratchets up my feeling of frustration.
She's only been with me!
I say out loud, then hop inside the car. I'm pushing the key into the ignition, just as two police cars pull into the parking lot with lights blazing and sirens howling. I pull out of the space slowly to avoid any unwanted attention, and watch as they park on the curb and rush inside like a murder has been committed. The moment I make it out of the parking lot, relief floods through me. If I'd been arrested at Target, Tessa would have flipped shit on me. Tessa and Zed. I know better than to believe Steph's bullshit lies about Tessa fucking him. I know she didn't. I know that I'm the only man who has ever been inside of her. The only one who has ever made her come. Not him. Not fucking anyone. Only me. I shake my head to rid myself of the vision of the two of them, her fingers wrapped around his arms as he pushes into her. Fuck, not this again. I literally can't think straight. I can't see straight. I should have wrapped my hands around Steph's neck and... No. I can't allow myself to finish the thought. She got exactly what she wanted out of me, and that makes me even angrier. She knew exactly what she was doing when she mentioned Zed. She was purposely taunting me, trying to make me snap, and it worked. She knew she was pulling the pin from a grenade and walking away. But I'm not a grenade. I should be able to control myself. I immediately call Tessa, but she doesn't pick up. Her phone rings, and rings, and rings. She did tell me that she was going to sleep, but I know damn well that her phone is always on vibrate, and that woman can't sleep through shit. Come on, Tess, pick up the phone. I groan and toss my cell onto the passenger seat. I need to get as far away from Target as possible before the cops check the parking lot cameras and get my plate number or some shit. The freeway is a fucking nightmare, and I keep trying to call Tessa. If she doesn't get back to me within the hour, I'm calling Christian. I should have stayed in Seattle another night. Hell, I should have moved there in the fucking first place. All of my reasons for not wanting to go seem so fucking pointless now. All of the fears I had, and still have, are only being kept alive by the distance between where she lives and where I live. Deep down, you know it won't work. You're covered in ink, and it's only a matter of time before she's sick of being embarrassed to be seen with you. Bad boy fetish. Marry a banker or some shit. Steph's voice pierces my ears over and over again. I'm going insane. I'm literally losing my fucking mind on this wide-open road. All the efforts that I made all week mean nothing now. The 2 days that I spent with Tessa have been ruined by that viper. Is all of this worth it? Is all of this constant trying worth it? Will I always have to stop myself from saying or doing the wrong shit? And if I do continue this potential transformation, will she really love me after? Or just feel like she finished some kind of project for a psych class? After all this, will there be enough of me left for her to love? Will I even be the same man that she fell in love with? Or is this her way of transforming me into someone she wishes I could be? Someone she will tire of? Is she trying to make me more like him? More like Noah? You can't compete with that. Steph is right. I can't compete with Noah and the simple relationship Tessa shared with him. She never had to worry about anything when she was with him. They were good together. Good and simple. He isn't broken the way that I am. I remember the days when I used to sit in my room and wait for hours for Steph to tell me when Tessa returned after she'd spent some time with him. I interfered as much as I could, and, surprisingly enough, it worked out for me. She chose me over him, over the boy she grew up loving. The idea of Tessa telling Noah she loves him makes me sick to my stomach. Bad boy fetish. I'm more than a fetish to Tessa. I have to be. I fucked more than my share of girls who are only looking to frighten their daddies. But Tessa isn't one of them. She's put up with enough shit from me to prove that. My thoughts are jumbled and frantic, and I can't keep up with them. Why am I letting Steph get inside my head? I shouldn't have listened to a word that bitch said. Now that I have, though, I can't get her words out of me. I wipe my bloody and busted knuckles across the legs of my blue jeans and park the car. When I look up, I find myself parked in the lot at Blind Bob's. I've driven all the way here without so much as a thought about it. I shouldn't go inside, but I can't stop myself. And behind the bar, I see an old friend, Carly. Carly wearing minimal clothing and deep red lipstick.
Well, well, well,
she grins at me. Save it, I groan, and slide onto a bar stool directly in front of her.
Not a chance,
she shakes her head, her blonde ponytail whipping back and forth.
The last time I served you, it spiraled into one big drama fest, and I have neither the time nor the patience for a repeat performance tonight.
The last time I was here, I got so shit-faced that Carly forced me to spend the night on her couch, which only led to a huge misunderstanding with Tessa, who got into a car accident that day because of me, because of the shit I bring into her otherwise clean life. Your job is to get me a drink when I order one. I point at the bottle of dark whiskey on the shelf behind her.
There's a sign right there that states otherwise.
She leans her elbows onto the bar top, and I sit back on my bar stool, creating as much space between us as possible. The small, "We have the right to refuse service to anyone," is taped to the wall, and I can't help but laugh. Easy on the ice. I don't want it watered down. I ignore another of her eye rolls as she pushes herself up and grabs an empty glass. A thick stream of dark liquor pours into my glass, and Steph's voice replays again and again in my brain. This is the only way to rid myself of her accusations and lies. Carly's voice breaks me from my daze.
She's calling.
Glancing down, I see the picture that I snapped while Tessa was asleep this morning. It's flashing on my phone's screen. Fuck! I instinctively push the glass away, spilling its freshly poured contents onto the bar top. I ignore Carly's high-pitched cursing and leave the bar just as quickly as I arrived. Outside, I swipe my thumb across the screen. Tess!
Harden!
She says, panicked.
Are you okay?
I called you so many times. I let out a breath of relief at the sound of her voice through the small speaker.
I know, I'm sorry. I was asleep. Are you okay? Where are you?
Blind Bob's, I admit. There's no use in lying. She always finds out the truth, one way or another.
Oh,
she barely whispers. I ordered a drink. I may as well tell her everything.
Only one?
Yes, and I didn't get the chance to even taste it before you called. I can't decide how I feel about that. Her voice is my lifeline, but I can feel a thread of something calling me back to the bar as well.
That's good, then, she says. Are you leaving there?
Yes, right now. I pull the handle on my car door and climb into the driver's seat. After a few beats, Tessa asks,
Why'd you go there? It's okay that you did. I'm just wondering why.
I saw Steph. She gasps.
What happened? Did anything happen?
I didn't hurt her, if that's what you mean. I turn on my car but keep it in park. I want to talk to Tessa without the distraction of driving. She said some shit to me that really... It really set me off. I lost my temper in Target.
Are you okay? Wait, I thought you hated Target.
Out of all the things, I begin.
Sorry, I'm half asleep.
I can hear the smile in her voice, but it's quickly replaced by worry.
Are you okay? What did she say?
She said that you fucked Zed, I tell her. I don't want to repeat the other shit she said about Tessa and me not being good for each other.
What? You know that's not true. Harden, I swear nothing happened between us that you don't know already.
I tap a finger on the windshield, watching my fingerprints accumulate. She said his roommate heard you.
You don't believe her, right? You couldn't possibly believe her, Harden. You know me. You know I would have told you if anyone else had touched me.
Her voice cracks and my chest aches. Shh. I shouldn't have let her go on about it for so long. I should have told her that I knew it wasn't true. But being the selfish bastard that I am, I needed to hear her say it.
What else did she say?
She's crying. Just bullshit. About you and Zed. And she played on every fear and insecurity that I have about us.
Is that why you went to the bar?
There's no judgment in Tessa's voice, only an understanding that I wasn't expecting. I guess so, I sigh. She knew things, about your body, things that only I should know. A shiver rakes down my spine.
She was my roommate. She saw me change any number of times, not to mention she's the one who undressed me that night,
she says with a sniffle. Anger ripples through me again. The thought of Tessa, unable to move while Steph forcefully undressed her.
Don't cry, please. I can't bear it.
Not when you're hours away. I beg her. Now that Tessa's soft voice is on the line, Steph's words seem to hold no truth, and the madness, the pure fucking madness that I felt only minutes ago has dissolved. Let's talk about something else while I drive home. I shift my car into reverse and put Tessa on speakerphone.
Okay, yeah,
she says, then hums a little while she thinks.
Kimberly and Christian invited me to join them at their club this weekend.
You aren't going.
If you would let me finish,
she scolds me.
But since you will hopefully be here, and I knew you wouldn't come along, we agreed on me going Wednesday night instead.
What kind of club is open on a Wednesday? I glance into my rearview mirror, answering my own question. I'm going, I say.
Why? You don't like clubs, remember?
I roll my eyes. I'll go with you this weekend. I don't want you to go on Wednesday.
I'm going on Wednesday. We can go again this weekend if you'd like, but I already told Kimberly that I'm coming, and there's no reason that I shouldn't.
I would rather you not go, I say through my teeth. I'm already on edge, and she's testing me. Or I can come Wednesday too, I offer, trying my best to be reasonable.
You don't have to drive all the way here on Wednesday when you'll already be coming for the weekend.
You don't want to be seen with me? The words are out before I can stop them.
What?
I hear the click of her lamp turning on in the background.
Why would you say that? You know it's not true. Don't let Steph in your head. That's what this is about, isn't it?
I pull into the parking lot of the apartment and park the car before I respond. Tessa waits in silence for an explanation. Finally, I sigh. No, I don't know.
We have to learn to fight together, not against one another. It shouldn't be Steph versus you versus me. We have to be in this together,
she continues. That's not what I'm doing. She's right. She's always fucking right. I'll come on Wednesday and stay until Sunday.
I have classes and work.
It sounds like you don't want me to come. My paranoia seeps through my already broken confidence.
Of course I do. You know I do.
I savor the words. Fuck, I miss her so much.
Are you home yet?
Tessa asks just as I turn off the ignition. Yes, I just got here.
I miss you.
The sadness in her voice stops me in my tracks. I miss you too, baby. I'm sorry. I'm going crazy without you, Tess.
I am too,
she sighs, and it makes me want to apologize again. I'm a dumbass for not coming to Seattle with you in the first place. Coughing sounds through the speaker.
What?
You heard me. I'm not repeating it.
Fine.
She finally stops coughing as I step onto the elevator.
I know I couldn't have heard you correctly anyway.
Anyway, what do you want me to do about Steph and Dan? I change the subject.
What can you do?
She quietly asks. You don't want me to answer that.
Nothing, then. Just leave them be.
She's probably going to tell everyone about tonight and continue to spread the rumor about you and Zed.
I don't live there anymore. It's okay, Tessa says,
trying to convince me, but I know how much a rumor like this will hurt her feelings, whether she admits it or not. I don't want to leave it alone, I confess.
I don't want you getting in any trouble over them.
Fine, I say, and then we exchange our good nights. She's not going to agree to my ideas on how to stop Steph, so I'll just drop it. I unlock the door to my apartment and walk in to find Richard sprawled out asleep on the couch. Jerry Springer's voice fills the entire apartment. I turn the television off and go straight to my bedroom. Chapter 108.
harden. The entire morning, I'm dead on my feet. I don't remember walking into my first class, and I begin to wonder why I even bother. When I walk past the administration building, Nate and Logan are standing at the bottom of the steps. I pull my hood up and pass them by without a word. I have to get the hell away from this place. In a split-second decision, I turn back around and take the steep flight of stairs up to the front of the building. My father's secretary greets me with the fakest smile I've seen in a while.
Can I help you?
I'm here to see Ken Scott.
Do you have an appointment?
The woman sweetly asks, knowing damn well that I don't, knowing damn well who I am.
Obviously not. Is my father in there or not?
I gesture to the thick wooden door in front of me. The fogged glass in the center of it makes it hard to tell if he's inside.
He's in there, but he's on a conference call at the moment. If you have a seat, I'll...
I walk past her desk and go straight to his door. When I turn the knob and push it open, my father's head turns my way, and he calmly raises a finger to ask me to give him a moment. Being the polite gentleman that I am, I roll my eyes and take a seat in front of his desk. After another minute or so, my father returns the phone to its base and rises to his feet to greet me.
I wasn't expecting you.
I wasn't expecting to be here, I admit.
Is something wrong?
His eyes move to his closed door behind me and back to my face. I have a question. I rest my hands on his almost maroon cherrywood desk and look up at him. Dark patches of stubble are visible on his face, making it obvious that he hasn't shaved in a few days, and his white button-down shirt is slightly wrinkled at the cuffs. I don't think I've seen him wearing a wrinkled shirt since I moved to America. This is a man who comes to breakfast in a sweater vest and pressed khakis.
I'm listening, my father says.
The tension between us is abundant, but even so, I have to struggle to remember the searing hate that I once felt toward this man. I don't know how to feel about him now. I don't think I'll ever be able to forgive him completely, but holding on to all that anger toward him simply takes too much fucking energy. We'll never have the relationship that he has with my stepbrother, but it's sort of nice to know that when I need something from him, he usually tries his best to help. The majority of the time, his help doesn't get me anywhere, but the effort is appreciated, somewhat. How hard do you think it will be for me to transfer to the Seattle campus? His brow rises dramatically.
Really?
Yes. I don't want your opinion, I want an answer. I make it clear that my sudden change of mind isn't open for discussion. He eyes me thoughtfully before answering.
Well, it would set your graduation back. You're better off staying at my campus for the remainder of this semester. By the time you apply to transfer, register, and move to Seattle, it wouldn't be worth the hassle and time, logistically speaking.
I sit back against the leather chair and stare at him. Couldn't you help speed the process along?
Yes, but it would still put off your graduation date.
So basically I have to stay here?
You don't have to.
He rubs the dark stubble on his chin.
But it makes more sense for now. You're so close.
I'm not attending that ceremony, I remind him.
I had hoped you changed your mind.
My father sighs and I look away.
Well, I haven't, so...
It's a very important day for you. The last 3 years of your life.
I don't give a shit. I don't want to go. I'm fine with having my diploma mailed to me. I'm not going, end of discussion.
My eyes travel up the wall behind him to focus on the frames hanging heavily on the dark brown walls of his office. The white-framed certificates and diplomas mark his achievements, and I can tell by the way he proudly stares up at them that they mean more to him than they ever would to me.
I'm sorry to hear that.
He continues to stare at the frames. I won't ask again. My father frowns.
Why is it so important to you for me to go? I dare to ask.
The hostility between us has thickened, and the air has grown heavier. But my father's features soften tremendously as the moments of silence between us go.